Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, January 22nd, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I will be your host for today as we continue a conversation about crime. I know Erin has some pieces that she wants to read in the record, especially how I was talking about Hannah Hasty Times at the beginning of her show and run out half of the time. So I'm going to have her do that. But before then, I want to put this on the record because this is what my show is about. Recently, a young lady, 23 years old, was arrested, charged, and found guilty for child endangerment. That's a crime, right? She was given 1 year sentence. Her children was taken from her and put inside the children hostel. And the judge mentioned that upon release, she's going to go through some kind of therapy and then she's going to see if she can have visitation rights, et cetera, to get access to her crime, to her children. My show today, I want to concentrate on that, to analyze what the news is saying about that and question whether society, we, have a duty of care. I won't go as far to question the judge's sentence because I believe that the lady pled guilty and I believe that she was guilty. I am a sentence, and I will tell you why I'm uneasy about the sentence. And I will talk about the services and analyze what I think went wrong. I think we owe that. I want you to call. I want you to give your opinion on this. Now, mind you, I accept that this lady is guilty. No need to bemoan that and rehash that. The woman is guilty. She left her children alone for 2 whole days, not worrying about what is happening to them. Therefore, she needs to be punished. And of course, she was punished. But I need to understand what went wrong and what shall happen moving forward. But before then, I want Erin to read these past articles to put in the record just so it could correspond to the last conversation we had about crime. So those persons who's following us during that conversation can know where the conversation stemmed from, where it started from, and why and wherefore. So I'll let Erin start with that, and then we'll go straight in to the issue at hand regarding the young lady as I create a narrative. Of what more likely should have happened, mm-hmm. what likely did happen, and what went wrong. But go ahead, Erin.
Thank you, Mr. Nuri. So from the earlier conversation today, we had asked the question, how many of your rights, how much of your freedom are you prepared to give up to curb crime? It was evoked from a statement made by the Minister of National Security. That statement could be found in the article, Detention is Price We Pay. Monroe says wrongful identification and arrest a potential inconvenience, where Mr. Monroe said, being arrested on suspicion and being held up to 48 hours is part of the price we pay for living in a free, democratic, orderly society. I wanted to stick a pin there just to remind us that rights are no trivial thing and to encourage us to focus on this issue. I don't think people have a problem with shrinking themselves, giving up some rights temporarily to ensure that others are safer, but we only do that when we are confident that the measures required by our sacrifices that are required for these measures and that these measures are successful. That the state understands its obligation to protect people's data and to ensure that people are not unnecessarily being inconvenienced. Hearing the minister say, being arrested on suspicion and being held up to 48 hours is the price we pay. First of all, nobody should actually be held on suspicion for 48 hours with facial recognition technology. The technology itself should enable a more rapid processing of the matter. Not just that, one of the concerns raised is about the technology itself. The article states the National Institute of Standards and Technology reported that year, 2019, that systems falsely identified African American and Asian faces 10 to 100 times more than Caucasian faces. Another article, Racial Discrimination in Face Recognition Technology from Harvard University, 24th of October 2020, states face recognition algorithms boast high classification accuracy, over 90%. But these outcomes are not universal. A growing body of research exposes divergent error rates across demographic groups, with the poorest accuracy consistently found in subjects who are female, black, and 18 to 30 years old. Just quickly, another article that raised this question for me. AG, law would criminalize the institution of the gang, and government grappling with how to prove someone is in a gang. All of these articles, I think, again, require us as citizens to engage our responsibility to ensure that we are active participants in policy creation and policy decision making. Mr. Nuri, thank you very much.
Yeah, my pleasure. So I want you to get my two articles up and ready to read, Erin, for me. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll give a synopsis of how I interpret it whilst you read the articles itself.
Okay.
Get the article ready?
Yeah, I'm
okay,
ready.
Okay, so let me say this. A lady was born in the Bahamas. She seems to have been born to immigrant parents. She is in the transition of becoming a citizen, if the government gives it to her or not.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, she had a child when she was a teenager, seemingly 13, 14-ish. Right? She's now 23. The eldest child is 9 years old. Then she has had another child who's 3. We don't know who the father of these children are. She apparently doesn't have support of her parents because she lives in a dilapidated house in the inner city. She mentioned that she tried to get social services. However, social service denied her, saying that she is an immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
That's my words, but she said that she didn't have a passport, a voter's card, or NIB number.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that she doesn't have an NIB number because everybody has an NIB number is more likely because her parents did not register her or did not have the required information for her to get an NIB, because you need an NIB, at least an NIB card, to get a job, mm-hmm. right? So I assume that she was not properly educated in terms of high school education, because it seems that she have issues in terms of communicating, etc.
Well, if she doesn't have an NIB number,
mm-hmm.
that means that how much time would she have spent in a formal school structure? Because at some point in primary school, in registration process, somebody asked for an NIB number. Somebody.
It should.
Right? So the question is, did she participate in primary school even?
Yes.
Formally.
All of that I want to interrogate also, right? She lives in a dilapidated state where she's living, and she has 2 children, and she mentioned that she was short of money because she couldn't get access to social services.
Mm-hmm.
And so she went to hustle. The part of a hustle is, she said her boyfriend, is the only access to money. That's code, but I ain't gonna delve in what that means. Mm-hmm. That she went to seek out her boyfriend in order to get access.
Mm-hmm.
She acknowledged that she left the children alone. Mm-hmm. She left it more like it were the neighbors to provide food for the children as she hustled money,
mm-hmm.
right? She said that this is the only way she makes money, through the hustling of money. And again, I believe that is code. So now I want us to read the exact article, because something went wrong. Well, let me conclude with this. She went to court and the judge gave her 1 year. Said the violence against children is a serious thing, so she needs to get 1 year because she didn't seem to have any remorse of what she did. Right? Also mentioned that she asked for probation. She said, man, I know it's a serious thing, but I want to have access to my children. I am a broken person. Mm-hmm. Right? And be hearing by the story, she is a broken person. Right? And but the judge said, man, I don't care if you're broken or not. You abuse children. And I understand that. I'm not saying that the judge was wrong. I'm just want to create a narrative. And now I'll have Erin Green read the article.
All right.
In order to get some idea of what I'm talking about, so I can analyze what is happening.
I'm going to read from the Guardian article. There's also a Tribune article that I have available. I may read from both of them because they share different
views. Yes.
Views, right. So the first one is from the Nassau Guardian. Mother jailed for leaving sons alone for 2 days from Friday the 19th of January 2024. A mother who left her children alone for 2 days without food or water in a squalid, abandoned home while she spent time with her boyfriend was yesterday jailed for a year. The 23-year-old pleaded guilty to 2 counts of cruelty to children at her arraignment before Assistant Chief Magistrate Carolyn Voigt Evans. Her name has been withheld to protect the identity of the minors, who are being held at the Children's Emergency Hostel. Superintendent Claudette McKenzie Lewis, the prosecutor, told the court that police found the boys, ages 3 and 8, in an unsanitary building at Sampson Street in Nassau Village on January 14th. She said the children relied on a neighbor for food. According to McKenzie Lewis, the elder child was left to take care of his younger sibling. When police arrested the mother, she admitted the offense and said that she was with her boyfriend.
The woman did not have a lawyer. But go ahead.
And we got about 2,000 plus lawyers in this country.
I don't even know why they even continue the case without the law. Anyway, go ahead.
Begged the magistrate to place her on probation and give her counseling. In an attempt to explain why her children were left unattended without food or water for 2 days, the woman said that she was running low on cash and that her boyfriend was the only person from whom she could get funds. She said, quote, I went by him on Sunday, got distracted, and ended up staying. The mother added, I have someone who is willing to take care of them for me. I'm asking for probation and counseling. I need help to take care of my children.
I need help to take care of my children.
The magistrate asked the convict.
She's called a convict before it's that. But anyway, go ahead.
The magistrate asked the convict if she had sought help from social services. The woman said that she had tried to get food stamps, but she was turned away because she didn't have a voter's card or NIB card.
That means she was an immigrant.
She
was turned away because she's an immigrant. Don't be coding these things, but go ahead.
She explained she was still waiting for her citizenship application to be approved. Voigt Evans said the woman had failed to help her understand why she left the children alone for 2 days. She said that the court had zero tolerance for, quote, parents who choose to abandon and neglect innocent children, causing them to suffer, close quotes, end of article.
When your children start crying that they're hungry, women do desperate things. I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
Right? I'm just saying that. But I want you, so there's a different article I want you, and forgive me that you're reading two different articles, just that two different articles give two different viewpoints. So if you may, if you can,
right.
Can you start?
I'm going to now read from the Tribune's article on the same story. Young mother sentenced to 1 year of prison for abandoning her 2 sons. A 23-year-old mother appeared unfazed as she was sentenced to 1 year in prison yesterday for child abandonment.
Seems like she's hardened. But go ahead.
I was about to say, maybe she's unable to express any emotions.
Especially getting pregnant at 13, 14. More likely getting molested. Lord forbid if she was come over to the shanty town and then the family members mess her mind. But that's a narrative. I'm not sure if anyone even try to investigate that. But it's
possibly not being able to go to school and watching all your peers go to school and you are unable to do the same thing could leave you in that state. I continue to read from the article, young mother sentenced to 1 year of prison for abandoning her two sons. She admitted leaving her two young sons alone in a dilapidated building for 2 days. During this time, the defendant says she was with her boyfriend while her kids were left without food or water. Assistant Chief Magistrate Carolyn Voigt Evans charged the woman, whose name is being withheld to protect the identity of the children, with 2 counts of cruelty to children. Authorities reportedly rescued an 8-year-old and a 3-year-old boy from an abandoned and unsanitary building in Nassau Village on January 14th.
The lady was living in an abandoned building at 23 years old.
Is it better than living under the streetlight? Or living on the beach?
There's people who live on the beach.
Because the shark's already on the beach. You can't leave your children there to walk into the water while you're sleeping. The older boy had been caring for his younger sibling and indicated he hadn't been in school for a while. The children...
Let's pause there. Mm-hmm. This child hadn't been in school for a while and nobody checked on this child. Something went wrong.
Is there a record of an investigation being started to determine the whereabouts of the child?
Recently, we bulldozed a lot of houses, and those people are now looking for abandoned buildings
to go and live in.
I wonder.
Maybe that's why they didn't. That's why a particular group said we didn't. Nobody came to us for help, but maybe they were busy looking for abandoned buildings to live in after their structures had been torn down. I continue to read from the article. The children were placed in the children's emergency hostel. After pleading guilty to the charge, the defendant explained that she was with her boyfriend while her kids were alone and said she got distracted, in quotation marks, while staying with him.
I wonder what distracted her. Why she went to go hustle money.
Maybe the actual act of hustling the money got her very distracted.
And some people withhold the money. Say, where are you going?
Absolutely.
Especially when you done work.
Absolutely. Perhaps she was unable to return to her kids. She further claimed that she had difficulties reaching out to the Ministry of Social Services to provide for the children and that she lives with them in the same abandoned building. The defendant also said that neighbors would sometimes give her children food. When questioned by Magistrate Voigt Evans about her actions, the defendant said she felt bad and was sorry for what she'd done. Prosecutor ASP Lewis told the court that the defendant has a history of such negligent behavior.
Hold on. She had a history of negligence with her children? Mm-hmm. That was it? And nobody interjected, looked for this child?
Nobody.
Looked for the children?
Right. Using school attendance as an indicator that the problem may have arisen again.
You think the police knew that she couldn't get food stamps? That she was poor and destitute and could not get food stamps? That they say, well, we did drop off some food to her, so that's not an excuse? They just say, man, tough.
When questioned by Magistrate Voigt Evans about her actions, the defendant said she felt bad and was sorry for what she'd done. Prosecutor ASP Lewis told the court that the defendant has a history of such negligent behavior. The defendant disagreed. The defendant asked that the court place her on probation with counseling. She also requested help taking care of her children. Magistrate Voigt Evans called the defendant irresponsible and said she did not appear remorseful for the danger she put her children through. I mean, what should she throw herself...
Wanted to cry.
In the road?
Wanted to cry. Women like other women to humble themselves.
Oh, my. Let's go. You want to continue reading, Caller?
Caller,
give us a second. The magistrate also said the defendant's mitigation did not justify the neglect and abandonment of her children. The defendant was sentenced to 1 year at the Bahamas Department of Correctional Services, during which time her children will remain in protective custody. Upon her release, the defendant must receive counseling and have supervised visitation with her offspring.
No counseling now. Counseling after a year. But let's say this now. If she's a convicted felon, she could be a convicted felon, right, who is applying for citizenship, quote, she's a criminal, don't we reject people like that? You can't get citizenship no more.
The state has the authority to reject your automatic, this is my interpretation, citizenship if you have committed a crime or an act. It's not just any regular, you know, it has to be something serious.
This is a year. When is a year that goes on your criminal record? Yeah. So this is on the, so hold on. Not yet. We got to finish the article.
Yeah.
You're saying more like we may deport this woman. And her immigrant children.
And the children.
I mean, she's a criminal. She got to get deported. No. We're going to keep the criminal here?
I mean, we do with some, but, you know, it depends on what jurisdiction they came from. The defendant was sentenced to 1 year at the Bahamas Department of Correctional Services, during which time her children will remain in protective custody. Upon her release, the defendant must receive counseling and have supervised visitation with her offspring. The Ministry of Social Services will then decide whether she regains custody of the children. The accused was given the right to appeal her sentencing.
Question. When she comes out in a year, where's she going to live? In the dilapidated house?
Knowing that she cannot retain custody of her children if she doesn't have an appropriate place to live and a steady income. Will she receive any counseling while in prison? Will she receive any training, skills-based training?
But after release, she normally needs to go home. The home is a dilapidated house.
Right. It's unoccupiable.
So when she get released, what they can do?
Right. What address did the mother put on the form to register the children for school, the child for school?
They put it Shantytown. That's what they put. But let's go to the caller. Let's go to the caller.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning, CA, and good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
This is very concerning to me as a parent and grandparent. This is a concerned citizen. Because who cares? Who is caring for everybody else?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that there's a report that said that she's famous for such neglect and irresponsibility is a red flag. The neighbors around the place, you don't live in the bush. Even if you live in the bush, okay, neighbors, concerned neighbors, see people walking through the bush. There's no house in the back. They come check it out, authorities. We have to be more concerned about the children. And when we don't have a heart for caring, then that's a big situation. Because at the end of the day, those same children who don't see their others care will be the very ones who lash out in anger and rage. And could it be the result of what we have happening now? We must return to some basics.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's just get back to basics. That's just my eye. I just don't know what else to say. Return.
Yes, and for me, when you say who's looking out for the children, who looked out for her when she was a children?
Exactly.
She was a child.
And the thing about it is, she's here, and if she's an immigrant, come on. Where are our parents? Who is here as far as family attachment to her? Where's the church? She don't go to church? Come on. There are other persons who will step in. And can we afford to continue? Because her case only happens to be an exposure case. You believe that, right? Mm-hmm. You know that, right?
Yes, ma'am.
There are many, 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 many like this.
Yes, ma'am.
When you listen to the woman who was interviewed at Chinatown in Cool Acres, and the children, bunch of children you have, and the husband, he doesn't work like that. So this is a problem for us, not only at the neighbors, but from the national level. And we can't continue to carry this like this. So someone has to be addressed on this whole matter.
Thank you, ma'am.
Please, we have to deal with this.
Thank
God
you.
Bless.
Absolutely. Thank
Aaron,
you for sharing.
One would assume that social services would have been present at her arraignment to give testimony as to, yes, we have a case on her.
A record on her.
Right? This is the assistance we gave to her. This is the mitigating situation on whether she's broken, that mm-hmm. this is the reason why this is happening. This is how we can help her. And surely, being a mother, right, there should be a lawyer present, especially when you're dealing with children, right?
Yes.
Right? To explain the gravity of what's happening, right? To say, well, this woman is living in an abandoned house.
Right.
At 23 years old.
Was she advised that she has a right to plead not guilty?
The magistrate would say, no, hey, hold on, no, I ain't gonna let you go no further. This is what I'm gonna do for you. I can help you out, and then I can conclude. But let me ask you this. If you don't have no identification, if you don't have any national insurance number, can you get a job?
No.
Can you go to BTVI?
No.
So
can you take advantage of any mechanisms in society to build your capacity?
She only have one skill. One skill. And that's where she went on to you. See, here, let's go to the caller.
Good morning, caller.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, that's an indictment on us in the back here in the village, in Nassau Village, as a community, and the churches. Yeah, we should have been able to do more. Like the lady say, she said exposure. That's just one case of many what's going on around this country. But as a community, I know we get a lady named Candy Gibson down the road there who does help out in this situation. She say that she need more help and volunteer. But that would have been a good case for her to reach out to Ms. Gibson to see if Ms. Gibson could direct or suggest to her where or what to do concerning the children. I start to say we should just be concerned about the children, but that meaning somebody pregnant that little girl when she was 15 years old.
Yep.
He come from a mother and a father.
Yep.
It might be too late to deal with them, with the situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we might be ready to throw the book at the girl, because I'm thinking even the judge might know more than what we know.
See,
they send an example just like where a little girl get killed and the mother get charged. You have to set example for the other rest of parents to take things more seriously and understand they have a responsibility with these children.
Papa,
this is a special case with this young
girl.
Right,
you see what you said? If we said if she's 23 and the child is 8, that means she's a victim of statutory rape.
Yeah.
This is trying to tell people, oh, it's just unlawful sexual intercourse and she should have known better.
Yes.
She is a victim of rape.
We have cases where young girls might think this woman, their mother made them feel like this woman, and it's sexual cases, right? And then we got to keep in mind that when you're under a certain age, even if you think you're a woman, it is a law against someone pregnating or even having sex with them at that age. So it might be too late to deal with her parents, right? The 20, you say she's 23 now?
Yes.
It might be too late to deal with them, but if we could help them. But see, there's another thing, too. The point where Nuri push out, that's important, too. You can't make a mockery of the system or the law, no. You can imagine if everything what Nuri say is good, right? And the law does say when you become a criminal, how you get sent out of the country. Then some people say you got to send the children with her. I kind of feel attached to them children now.
Yes.
Knowing their problem, although it's many cases like that when they be exposed and you know about it. You want to know like what we could do to help them to be created, to grow them up. You know, so sending them back with her, if you want to send her back or whatever. It's kind of even hard. Oh, Lord, this is a funny situation. Man, we need to be a community more, not just Nassau Village.
The whole
all of
island,
us, man.
The whole
we in our house, and some people suffering all around us, and then some people have pride. They don't come ask for help. But in these kind of cases, why it's okay for the judge to do these things, or do the judge know more than what we know? It's that you can't be doing that even if you get pride as a mother or a father. You let children suffer.
Yeah.
Them children could have been molested. They could have get killed. So we got to set an example. We got to be more caring as a community, helping one another, man.
Yeah.
I don't know who the person is. I don't know who the person is, but the churches, all kind of churches around here, all kind of business people, we should be ashamed, although that ain't, might be, even if it is our family or ain't our family.
Thank you, Papa.
Candy Gibson down the road, they're trying to do everything she could do.
Absolutely, and tomorrow
is
it's
a sad situation, but as a community, that's a big indictment on us. All kind of churches around here, man, we need to step in and help out.
Thank you, Papa.
And this is why the magistrate mentioned she have a right to appeal.
Right.
I believe the magistrate is giving a challenge to the church. That upon this appeal, the church members should be present. Upon this repeal, social services who clearly failed should be present. Upon this appeal, women's group and activists should be present to say, we will stand with this woman.
Make sure she has a lawyer.
She is broken.
Mm-hmm.
She mash up. And she needs help. Right? She needs help. But we will support her to get to the place where she needs to be in order to make sure that this family works.
Right, that the kids get what they need and that they can survive. And even maintaining communication if the appeal is unsuccessful, if she does appeal and it's unsuccessful, that you will maintain communication with her until a formal counseling period can begin. Good morning, caller.
Go ahead, caller. Call Gern once.
All right.
Calling Gern twice.
There we go. Here's a text. Good morning, Bahamas government. Should, okay, sorry, wrong text. Morning, she can go back to her man where she was when she left the kids home alone. Listen, just because she used the word boyfriend does not mean, A, that that's her man. B, does not mean that that's the actual accurate reflection of the relationship between them. Right? Let's be
any sensible person who analyzes what's happening understands what more than likely might have happened.
Yeah.
If you analyze and being sincere, the lady said, I had no options. I went to get money for my kids.
Yeah.
I understood what she meant and what she's saying. She went to work. And the boss said she can't go home yet.
Another texter asked, what is hustle code for? I want you to think about it. What are people with no skills forced to use to generate income? Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Hello?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Green and Mr. Nari.
Okay.
The first thing you all said in the first segment, when y'all was talking about giving up rights, right?
Mm-hmm.
How come they could be so hard on that lady and can't be hard on the murderers?
I hear your question.
You understand what I mean?
I hear it. Oh, yeah.
Because I don't understand something like that. Instead of doing that, giving her years and what a year she get. And when you do, when someone do a murder, they go what, 3 months and they get bail. This, the court system, something has to be wrong.
And the legislators write the laws. The judges can only interpret and apply them.
Okay.
We need
okay.
to.
I'm glad what you said, right?
Yeah.
So instead of giving up our rights, you don't think they could turn this around and say, no bail for murder, no bail for high-powered rifle, no bail for unlicensed firearm. Solve the whole problem right there. No one have to give up no rights.
There's a constitutional issue, but your point is correct. We must commit the energy and resources to interrogating the scope of the constitutional provisions. How can we expand the operation of the Bail Act? But I'm with you. Why are we not focused on it? Why are the legislators not thinking about it constantly? Because they write the laws and the penalties.
Well, how come we could think about that and they can't think about it? They're supposed to be the smart, what they call as a learned men and women. How come me and you right here could think about that and they can't think about it? Something wrong.
We're forced to do it as a matter of survival.
Okay, have a nice day.
Thank you very much, sir. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
I just wanted to say also, when she done do that 8 months or that 1 year, we can't give her back them children, you know. The government, we need to be the guardian of them children. And when she get her life back together, then she maybe could have them. But in the meantime, she could visit them while she getting her life back together.
Listen, she need to get adopted. She need to get adopted into a family.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it would be great if she and the children could adopted into the same space and have supervision. Because most of all, children need to be with their parents. I need you all to understand. I ain't got no children, but I get it. Children love their parents. They need to be with their parents. The parents also need supervision. So how do we maintain families, maintain the integrity of the family structure, and provide support to all of the elements in the family, protecting both? Because, the children need to be protected from a mother that does not have the capacity to protect them and give them everything that they need.
Let's go to the next caller, Aaron. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us? Turn on the radio.
How you doing?
Turn on the radio. Go ahead, man.
Yeah. She wouldn't be the first and wouldn't be the last. This thing, God knows, mysterious ways, you know. They have to bring out the light because this thing, a lot of them ain't gonna catch it. A lot of it's going down around in this town. I see you gotta realize this. It starts from bringing them up, to bringing these kids up from the hard way. That's how we get corruption, and that's how we get these kids them growing up inside a mentality where they start to hate people because they starting from young. See, you got to read every woman who killed and robbing and shooting, all of these kids, and these kids are mentally disturbed. They start from leaving each other home and not supervising, not helping them out and showing them love.
Yes, sir. I understand.
That's what this, see, we that's why we can't find about this. We no one talking from the root. From the baby born, you have to nurture them and show them love and everything and tell them. When you see them, they reach 8, 9, and I have an 8-year-old and I have to be on her like red on rice because she thinks she's smarter than me. So, if you, and it's different now because you get the internet. When I grew up and all that, it was black and white and all of them different things on TV and no internet or nothing. But these kids, them home watching video, they can know how to take down gun and everything. Don't say it because the internet is right there. So we have to really look at it from its start. Now I don't think she should have gone to jail for a year. She should have been locked somewhere down. Cause see, they have to learn. Now that's the difference. Now if she was some other place, locked down somewhere, couldn't get out. But she, a lot of them going out and leaving their kids, them dealing with men. Them, they put a lot of these women them putting men them. And suddenly the kids, even the men, if they cook the men, that these guys are eating for the kids. So I don't feel sorry in a way for these, you know what I mean? For a lot of these women out there because they're doing a lot of stupidness. And they bring in a lot of men along. They because anywhere in the world, your daughter and your son is supposed to see 3 and 4 men, different men in 1 year. Because they're searching for men, but they're broken. They're searching and searching for love, but they don't really know that they know that love or heart out there. They it ain't going to be where you keep changing men. So we have to, I'm glad in the coming away where they can open up some of the, she will open up a lot of these little girls and these women them, mine, that stay home and keep the kids. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Aaron, what would cause a attractive 23-year-old woman, young, to live in a dilapidated house by herself with her children? An abandoned building, no electricity, with her children. What would cause that?
See, here's my thing. As an adult, you meet a woman with children. You know the children need someplace to stay. Why would you not say, hey, look here, come stay. I got a room. Come stay. Has she turned down offers because she's concerned about the safety of her children? Did she say, look, my children are actually safer here than in a house with people that may take advantage of them? If nobody knows they're here. Right? There's nobody to take advantage of them. Another point is, the caller said, you know, unless she was locked down somewhere. And I think that's a very big consideration, considering she may have been hustling to make enough money to take care of her children.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, there are some gray market activities and black market activities, local, domestic, that take place where that could happen.
Where that could happen. And what is happening? What is happening?
You mean just generally in society?
No. See, we are forgetting the narrative that this lady is a, in lack of a better word, bohemian in transition.
Right.
Her upbringing is different from a standard bohemian.
Right.
The idea that she's living in a dilapidated house suggests that she came from an informal community.
Right.
Right. She has nobody to go to. Right. Especially in a culture where they're used to living 3, 4, 5 of them inside a house.
Right.
So the idea that she separate from that community means something happened.
Right. Is it that her parents were killed in Dorian? Did they disappear? Are they on the official missing list post-Dorian? You know, what happened as a child? Like you say, what happened to the systems that are supposed to be able to capture these things? You want to go to the phone line?
Let's go to the phone line.
Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron and Yuri.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good.
And good morning to the Bahamas. This same subject, I made a contribution on the right show last week with the young lady. Like we say, the social system has let her down because they call her the young, broken young lady. Mm-hmm. Because 8-year-old child, 9 months of pregnancy, means she would have been pregnant from the age of like 14, right?
Or 15, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Now, she must have been struggling. And here it is. We have a public system where she should have been given counseling, like Nuri mentioned, right?
Yes.
And here it is now. She is going behind the bars in jail for a whole year. Those children wouldn't be seen. And someone mentioned earlier that children love their parents. We all need our parents. Mm-hmm. So why is it she can't be put on vacation? I mean, on probation, because she asks for leniency, she asks for probation, and what is going to happen with her? What would we do when we had, and I said, a 17-year-old was caught with a gun weeks ago, and he was given probation, right?
I think possibly.
I think
I have to confirm.
Gun too. You see? See, the social structure, and someone said this is a highlighting case. Now, I want you to play the song "We Face Real Ghetto Pressure" by Dwayne Stevenson, okay? Because we as a society, the children are already protected. Alfred says, he grew up in the Ranfurly home.
Mm-hmm.
And he, look what he came out to be, very successful. And I say this with the Ranfurly home because when I was in grade two, and we host our assembly on Monday morning. You know what it was? I said that, and I had to get the address in grade two. I can remember that this assembly is brought on behalf of the Ranfurly Home and Emergency Hospital, where children who are less fortunate can be cared for and hope to become useful men and women of the community. So I'm going to departure over that, but we need to take responsibility, and all the politicians, you see what I'm saying, ought to know that all the crime in this country and all the killing. I called also for all members of Parliament in Nassau to call constituency meeting and get community watch groups in every constituency to stem this murdering and everything. So my cousin, Clayton Fernandez, can be listening, and they ought to take advice from those who have some experience on the street too. You all have a nice day.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. I have a text here. Aaron says, I'd really love to know who the boyfriend is who feels good taking advantage of a stateless, homeless, single mother. Why does he get to escape the law? He might not know. Or he didn't know. Or he wasn't a boyfriend at all.
Right.
So come
any
this,
of the three.
Come this way.
You want to make some money? You need to feed them children?
Yeah.
Come.
You come this way.
Yeah.
Just so you can get your money. And you can't go yet. You can't leave yet. I'm giving you no money yet.
You ain't finished waking for your money yet.
You ain't finished yet.
Yeah.
You got to work harder.
Listen, callers, I see you on the line, but that's the music. We've got to go to a break. So please, if you can't hold on through the break, call back on the other side. You're tuned into Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. We'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Newry. I'm here with Aaron Green, and we're discussing duty of care. Duty of care of the state, duty of care of the church, duty of care of society. How did we miss this? In that news report, they said, the police said, that she's a habitual abuser of her children. Right? If that is so, shouldn't social services be aware of her? Shouldn't they be checking on her weekly, monthly to make sure the children are okay? Shouldn't there be a record on whether she got social services stamps for food? Wouldn't they know that she living in a dilapidated building, meaning that the children are at risk? How did we miss that? If she is guilty for child endangerment, and if she's in the system, and the system didn't catch that she's living in a dilapidated house, the system didn't catch that she needed food stamps to take care of her children, surely the system is guilty, and that the judge should have called in social services and say, what the heavens y'all doing inside this place? How are we risking these children? How come you're not protecting them even from the mother? Surely, it seems as if the police even know who this woman is. I have concern.
Absolutely. I read from the Tribune article. In the article, Prosecutor ASP Lewis told the court that the defendant has a history of such negligent behavior. I mean, is she saying that it happened once before? Or is she saying that we have a number of calls, a number of instances where we had to attend, a number of instances where we had to pick up the children? Is that what's happening, right? Is that what is being indicated here? And so if we feel that this woman deserves a harsh penalty to set a precedent, then what about the other stakeholders or actors involved that it appears fell down on the job? Are you conducting an investigation to find out how it is that an 8-year-old boy could not be in school and nobody has gone to find out why the child is not in school? Has anybody gone to figure out how is it that a 23-year-old woman with two children does not have an NIB number? Does not have a school record?
Surely you go to national insurance and say, well, I don't have this type of document, but I born here. This is proof that right. I born here. Someone there should say, hey, let me show you the steps to get an NIB number. At least that.
What about the smallest of the children? Were they born in PMH?
They stateless.
Were they born in PMH? Is there a follow-up procedure? Is there a follow-up procedure for vaccinations? Is somebody saying, hey, we're missing documentation or records from this particular child or children?
Let's go to the callers again. Patch, put that button there, mm-hmm. Aaron.
Good morning. You're on Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry.
Call again once. Call again twice. Nothing?
Yeah.
Okay.
We got a text here. Great show as usual. Dear texter, so why government agencies don't make it mandatory to go on birth control to get financial assistance? The texter, that may be even more draconian than putting this woman in jail for 1 year without counseling services while she's in jail.
You notice that they didn't order counseling services in jail. They right. say when she comes out.
I wonder if counseling services are even available in jail.
But when she comes out, what does she do? She can't get a job still.
Right.
She doesn't have a home still. Right? Do we deport her? No, on a serious talk. If she's a criminal, because she get convicted, she has a 1-year sentence that goes on your police record. Our government cannot, in good conscience, allow her to get Bahamian citizenship. And if she is deported, surely the children need to get deported with her. Or because the children are at risk, they can say we can keep this woman's children away from her. She has no rights to her children anymore.
I would say, considering what appears to be the details or the dynamics of the first child's birth, that she in and of herself is a victim and should not be considered or treated as a criminal for the purpose of determining whether she, quote unquote, deserves citizenship.
No, she's a criminal. She's found guilty. 1 year. Deport her. You have to deport criminals. We don't keep criminality inside the Bahamas, especially when we have an escape. We got to go to the callers.
I think this is what they call extenuating circumstances.
She's a criminal. Criminals got to get deported.
I think this is what you call extenuating circumstances.
The judge should have considered that before he put in 1 year.
I mean, I don't tell judges what to do.
No, I don't tell judges.
But I consider in that that should have been considered myself without telling anybody anything.
Let's press the button there, Aaron. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, me.
Good morning.
Good. My first question, Ms. Green, and my friend there. Everybody's talking about the woman. Where's the father of these children?
We don't know who the father is.
You don't think she know who the father is? The mother don't know the father is?
She might know.
Maybe she doesn't know.
I mean, she might know and free to tell him that it's my daddy. But what same
if,
difference.
What if, this is a complete and total hypothetical, what if as a small, as a minor, she had been engaging in transactional sex or sex work to support herself after being abandoned?
So where's her parent?
Listen, we don't know where the parents are, but this is a hypothetical. Let's say, for instance, she may have been engaged in sex work as a minor to support herself or maybe her family, maybe her parents even. We don't know. Is it possible?
Hold on.
If she's a sex worker, is it possible that she doesn't know who the father is?
Oh, well, that's a give and take. That's a give and take. That's a good...
just a hypothetical.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it, too. But what I'm saying, for a 23-year-old, if she is of the Haitian faith, one thing I can tell you about those Haitians, they look out for one another. They look out, you see how much of them is living in one house? They look out for one another. Now, you have some of them put themselves in this thing, but there's Haitian behemoth. They want to be a Haitian when it's convenient for them. When it's convenient to be a behemoth, they want to be a behemoth. So they want to be both people. But if she was a legal, a Haitian, them children wouldn't have been left in that position.
You're saying her community would have risen up and ensured that at the very least the children would have taken care of?
They look out for one another. You see how they live?
Could it be that she maybe had a Haitian mother and a Bahamian father?
That's what, but then guess what? If she had a Haitian mother and a Bahamian father, she'd stick with the Haitian people. I could almost guarantee you she wouldn't be in the position she's in.
But what if she was trying to, what if she considered herself Bahamian and wanted to be Bahamian?
Well, she should have gone through and do the things that she's supposed to have done. She's 23.
She says she went to social services.
She's already past the age now.
She says she applied.
Between 18 and 19 year old. If she haven't done it, let me retract myself a little. She might have applied to be regularized, but from what I'm hearing now, she isn't even in the system.
Well, I mean, is that her fault? Did she sit at the desk to put the numbers and names in the system, right? Like, at the end of the day, is it worth considering that she possibly may also be a victim?
That's what we need to discuss. Aaron, I appreciate you having this discussion with me, right? I just want to put it out there that we need to be our brothers, in this case, our sister's keeper.
Mm-hmm.
The church need to accompany her. Women's group need to accompany her. Concerned citizens need to accompany her. Haitian activist groups need to accompany her.
If possible, she should be enabled to appeal so as not to have a conviction on her record that may stymie her achievement of a citizenship.
Anyway, it's time to go. It's been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. Have a wonderful day.